Hey, my name is Afa Ahmad Beghi. I'm 26 years old. Today's date is Monday, January 13th, 2020. We're in Santa Monica, California. I'm here with my new friend, Marcia Batiste.
Hi, my name is Letitia Marcia Batiste. I'm in my 40s. I was born in 1976. Today is Monday, January 13th, and we're in the location of downtown Santa Monica. And I'm here with my new friend, who is my interview partner, Ava, as in lava.
Ava as in lava.
Sorry, it's just
I
haven't got the American twang just yet, but, you know, it's that English, so it's... I'm like, Ava, off, I'm going to get into trouble.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Well, so let's talk about their American twang. So where are you coming from? How long have you been here?
I actually came here in 2009 under the O-1 artist visa. I'm actually a professional SAG after BAFTA actor. I've done like a few bits and pieces in the sense of like... some roles in independent films and some web series. I've worked with some really cool performers like Doug Jones and Felicia Day and some of the crew from Buffy in regards to the writers like Joss and stuff on some projects. In regards to the other stuff that I've done with like BAFTA Los Angeles, it's been a great organization. I'm still a member of it. And I get to mingle is not the right word, but I get to associate myself with what everyday Americans call the A-listers, the Hollywood elite, but on a professional level in the sense that it's like what we're doing now. And we would have like sessions called conversations with blah, 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 or script writing session or a casting session or just industry talks. And the industry talks is what is interesting because you actually get to see and hear and feel the vibe of these guys as like real, regular, everyday people. In regards to the American twang, I haven't really picked it up and I've basically been told off and I have my voiceover tapes and, you know, that it's meant to be... newscaster kind of speak in the sense of I'll give you a quick example, which is something along the lines of the Gen M accent is, and I haven't really picked that up yet. I'm just trying to let my own accent not fade away but just blend. In regards to that, I'm sorry, I don't sound like very chirpy about all that, but it's a profession, it's ongoing, it has its ups and downs. Unfortunately, the industry is, you know, it takes a beating every now and again, especially when films come out. A good example of many is the Batman film, which unfortunately in one of the cinemas there was a tragic incident. So in regards to where I'm going, I suppose what I'm much more of a... And and this is why I wanted to actually talk about the immigration issue, because I'm much more of a consciously social aware human being, and that filters into my performances. It filters into me as an actor. It filters into me as an actor working with other actors. And in a way, we kind of naturally fall into maybe a clique of people as actors who have that kind of conscious awareness. And sometimes we don't always come across as like the glitz and glamour of... And I don't mean this with anyone from Glee, but Glee is an example, you know, like the shiny, happy, boppy people that run around town and, you know, that kind of thing. The reason I say that mostly is because nowadays time has changed, and I was born in 76, and I feel like sometimes I'm sounding like an older generation of folk who said that phrase before, but it has hit people so hard in this day and age that in the last couple of years it's been shocking, and I think more so because a certain celebrity himself is sitting in the White House. And so it's caused a few problems to the point of people's stress levels going beyond the Amber Alert. You know, because the Amber Alert for an American citizen is basically shit's gone down. Do you know what I mean? And because of that, we're noticing that the everyday person is just, if not become unapproachable to Hollywood in the form of sales, in the form of the type of stories that's coming out of Hollywood nowadays, in the form of how they approach celebrities nowadays, especially in regards to the media outlets and with the various magazines and all that kind of stuff. You only need to look at like previous award ceremonies and you'll see like the decline in ratings just to show. We've noticed that and I'm probably going to get told off, but I would describe it as and I think this is the right word, an insular or a much more cocooned form of entertainment has taken over in the general public's mindset, which is the gaming industry. And that has made us much more aware to the average person's life in the sense of online media, online social media, online lifestyle, just breaking down society to a point where they're not in groups anymore. Well, we can and we can't really like confirm it, but a lot of it is people that's very, very isolated. And they're running now to like whatever these social media sites or groupings may be, expressing their opinions, expressing their viewpoints, being ultra cliquey, defensive, insular, frightened, you know, all those wordings, and suffering bullying, suffering a lot of bullying, and not realizing or not knowing or even being null to it, how to deal with it, because there are a lot of people right now that just they don't want to deal with truths. And because there's so much stuff that has been thrown at them, and I'm talking about the general public as a whole, because immigration has been going on for a long time. And as I said, I came in as, on the 01. And from since 2009 to now, which is 2020, I mean, I'm just going to just quickly talk about Santa Monica. Radical changes down here with construction. There's construction all over Los Angeles, and that's enough to raise people's stress levels. But it's just, there is a kind of dead space, like a void, and it's really felt. It is really, really felt. And we're gauging that it is a mixture of the current politics of today, regardless of what Trump does, but basically that party in particular. The fact that that California is one of the states throughout America that is going through major, major reforms, but is also in red tape in the sense of finances. It's lacking a lot of money. Unemployment seems to just has exploded to the point where basically people are employed and then all of a sudden they're laid off. What would be a typical job for someone who's probably had like a 40-hour-a-week job for spanning 8 to 10 or maybe a little bit, you know, where they get the watch and you know, all that kind of stuff. It's very rare these days. It kind of doesn't exist. The banking system, for an example, it has been venturing online, but it's exploded into the online market so fast that a lot of people don't seem to be able to catch up with it or can get to grips with it. The new society or the new fad or the buzzword apps, APPS, it's taken over. Like there's a lot of people that is into it because it's quick money, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, there's a zillion apps for one thing. The way that computers are nowadays, it's been so simplified. The sanctions against trade sanctions, it's really affected people. But I don't really know what Hollywood is trying to do, but we're really trying to get a sense of what I think this is community, like rein people back into a sense of community and try and get that dead feeling gone. Do you kind of gauge?
Yeah.
It's just dead space. That's the only way that right now, I think, and from having our meetings and stuff, that we're trying to figure out what is really the mood of the people, what's really going on, where's all this insular isolation, people going within, but not in a positive, they're withdrawn. There's a lot of withdrawnness. Yeah. Not many people want to talk about politics. I mean, it's always been the American thing. You know, don't talk to me about politics, don't talk to me about money, and my love life is, you know, that kind of, do you know what I mean? But it's got worse. And then there is the generation, which has always been a generation gap, but there's a generational gap of code of ethics. And when I say code of ethics, I mean code of ethics in the sense of there's a lot of people that don't want to help people nowadays. And that is the breakdown of community. That's a big breakdown of society. So I know Donald Trump is to blame for a lot of things, because he's English, he's not my English, and he's English, he's not your English, and he's American, but I don't think he understands what American English is. And do you know what I mean? It's just, there are things that he could have worded better. And then there's the war within the sexes. Women are, you know, they're really, especially in this country here, they're really fighting so hard to not just retain their jobs, but to climb even further and establish these jobs of, and I wouldn't say jobs of power, I would say jobs of change, especially in politics. And then we have the situation as what people now see as a teacher, which is a teacher mentor, role model. And I touch lightly on the gaming industry because I could go on and on and on and on and on about that. But there are those things, and they're subtle things, but at the same time, they're jarring, and it has created like a deathbed of a void, which mm-hmm. has bred a form of ignorance that is just, it's just created dead space.
Yeah.
It's almost as if no one really wants to talk about it, and when they do talk about it, you get all the people that shout.
Yeah, so what you're describing is a lot of kind of changing cultural, societal, political things that are going on that's creating a lot of kind of like weird things in the environment, changes in how people feel. But then you're also talking about kind of what Hollywood is trying to do and trying to create some kind of community.
Mm-hmm.
How How are you kind of seeing yourself in this space and what you're hoping for?
As, okay, I'm just going to say it for myself. As foot soldiers or, as foot soldiers of society and just, you know, being people out and about in public, we're trying to feel our way through so that we're able to actually portray these subjects and not be scared to actually produce the material. We know the times are sensitive, and personally I think that's what the issue is, and that's why I mentioned stress. So it's stress, it's heightened stress. We're living in a period of heightened stress, heightened sensitivity, and major recluseness. And for me personally, those three elements is bad. It doesn't matter what walk of life you come from. If you're living in an environment, whether it be your home environment or your school environment or just out in the community, and you're living in heightened stress and you're living in recluseness. Because, I mean, go to the store, any store, and you may get the whole store with a vibe that is like all the staff are working well, or you'll just go in and you'll just feel like not all the staff's working well because it's so, the staff, there's such a big influx of staff turnover. So they probably, there's something probably within the way that the staff's been trained. There's nothing really to grip them to say that they're basically listening to each other or they're helping each other. The only thing that they've got going for them is basically, I've got a job. At least I've got a job.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be what is at the forefront of everything. At least I've got a job, sort of thing. That doesn't really help with the vibe, with a positive vibe or a positive sale or...
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to look at it from a very picturesque point of view, as if to say, you know, like if I was an artist and I'm seeing all this stuff, how would I depict it in my painting? And I would have to say a lot of people just darted around my canvas and they don't really seem to really connect. They're just there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the environment. This is the scenery. There's a tree, there's a lake, there's a couple of buildings, and there's just people darted around my canvas. And, you know, the facial expressions is just... I have a nose, I have eyes, and I have a cheekbone and a dreary smile.
Mm-hmm.
But I have good clothes on or something like that. And then the occasional transient walking around with all sorts of signs and stuff like that. But then again, it's like the transients now, there's a whole array of transients. They're not the transients that people were accustomed to 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Are you feeling the stress and isolation and those things in your own life? I know there's a lot of it that you can see.
I work as a California security guard. And I know that that industry doesn't have the best outlook of life right now. There's so many of them everywhere. Every other place has a security guard. And it's big business. But we have to work with our clients in regards to liabilities and the general public in regards to safety. Now, in regards to the general public and safety, that is a big issue. Because it's a big concern, because a lot of people are feeling threatened by anyone that is in the general public, because there's a lot of mental health issues going on in this time, in this period, especially amongst the transient community. And within the transient community, we're talking about the state of the country, which has gone through huge disasters in sense of climate, economic. And then also the cultural issues. Some people have got the immigration status, some people haven't. Some people have got a job, some people haven't. Some people have got home, some people haven't. Some people are living in the car, some people haven't. And then there's the element of medication, like what is medication? That's what I see and I'm dealing with in the sense of when you said, do I feel that taken up? So as a natural observer from the industry, from my main profession, working as an artist and then sidelining it with an everyday job, an everyday American job, I really do feel this void, this death cloud at the moment.
So you said that you came to Santa Monica or LA in 2009?
In 2009, I didn't live in Santa Monica. In 2009, I was living in Gulf of Lax, and it wasn't far from Lax, and I think it was Mar Vista? It was up that way. It wasn't far from LAX.
LA.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then maybe a year later, I decided to move down into I've moved around a lot, and I'm just thinking of the name. But it's at the back of the Beverly Center, but in West Hollywood area.
Okay. So, and where were you before then?
I've lived all over the place. I've lived in Hollywood. I've lived in Hacienda Heights. I've lived over in the Valley.
All in the LA area?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So have you kind of experienced other spaces outside of the Los Angeles area where you feel like maybe you're seeing some of the same things that you're seeing here?
Only from working in the Valley. I worked a lot in the Valley. I haven't lived in the Valley. I suppose living in the Valley is a completely different lifestyle, but working. Mm. So, and to be honest, I haven't, when I first came to America, I spent time on the East Coast, about 2 months on the East Coast, around Normandy area, which is over the Brooklyn Bridge. And that was what made me go, no, I want to live in California. I really don't like that part of America.
Why? Can you describe it to me? From your experience?
Too much like Europe, really. And when I say that, I get a lot of Americans that don't understand, or they think that I'm a bit strange. But I'm like, no, it is actually. It's very, very, very much similar to Europe. Mm. And especially with the history anyway. So.
Mm.
And for myself, who's been born and bred in the UK and having a toss-up as to where to live on this continent, is either like, you know, Miami, Florida, or down here. Mm. So.
Do you feel like, I know that.
I know, I'm sorry, but you know, there's sunshine everywhere, but I have to behave as well. And I was very fresh, in a sense, fresh and naive coming out here as well. But I'm very settled.
How old were you when you came out here?
I would say in my late 20s, early 30s.
Mm-hmm. I know that sometimes it can be difficult when with a country this big and also a city this big.
Well, I haven't even seen much of it yet.
The city?
No, the country, yeah.
It's huge. It's difficult, yeah.
I've got American friends that haven't even left the country.
Yeah.
They just move state to state and they're like, why do I need to leave? There's everything here. And they're not wrong.
Yeah.
They're not wrong.
Yeah.
So.
Do you feel like once you came out here to California that you were kind of able to find some sort of community or something?
Yeah. And there's always going to be a community. It's just, what is it? You know, what is the community of this day and age?
Did you find one that you liked? Whatever it was.
To be honest, I like my profession. I like my profession a lot. In regards to just people, I don't mind. I'm very group orientated. I like to hang out with people solo. I mix very well. It's just I naturally fall into this state of awareness as to, you know, what is going on right now. Like, you know, what is happening with. I'm seeing so many people wandering around the streets, and I'm not describing it very well, but I'm seeing a lot of despairing people wandering the streets, and it becomes frightening.
Yeah. I know that we only have a few minutes left, but what are your hopes for yourself, for this place, for your profession, for a community?
I started out a conversation a long time ago. And when I say a long time ago, I mean a long time ago in politics, because I know the election's coming up soon. And it annoyed me. And then basically I realized I had to drop this conversation with a lot of people, which was, I was shocked how history seemed to slip through the hands of the everyday American, and mostly women, because there was a big opportunity for a woman to sit in that house. I totally understood what the issues were, but at the same time, I was very disheartened, because in the world of business, and being a president, it is a business, really, because you're a CEO of a big company, and the big company, you know, it really doesn't matter, but it is a business. And I just felt like that was really a woman's time to actually get into that office. And there wasn't that many women running in that campaign. And again, we have a similar situation. There's a little bit more women, but it's just, it just seems like the country's not ready, but it's so far behind. So I just knew straight away that there was something wrong. Many other Western countries have already had the women. Some of them have had like more than one. So my hope is that somewhere someone realizes that, you know, we just like the world, you know, like you, we had the black president, regardless of whether it was male, female, or it, you know, but I know what I'm talking about. It, you know, it's Obama, but I'm just trying not to, you know, I'm trying to lighten this subject. Someone's got to turn around and say, actually, do you know what? No, we need to put a woman in the office. And if it's not the best woman, we need to put an adequate woman in the office with some real serious good support. Because there is a strong message going out in the world of America about the role of women and men. And it's not positive. It's not positive. And I think that's why, you know, we as people in Hollywood really are like looking at this time now. Because it is a historical time, but it is a heightened, sensitive, stressful time. And it's a woman's issue. Like we had the women's, I would call it the Women's March, Women's Revolution, not so long ago, and it faded away. So there's something basically that needs to be done for women. A lot of women's rights seem to be cut all over the place. A lot of funding for women's projects seems to be going. A lot of men feel like the women are leaving them, whether they be wives, sisters, daughters, friends. And then the generational gap, the elderly and the young, And when I say elderly, I mean the people over 60 and the people 20 below. There's some big, big problems.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot going on in this country.
Yeah.
Let's
and
hope.
This is the year 2020, you know?
That's right. It's 2020 now. Another election cycle.
And not forgetting that soon we're going to be going to Mars. Care of, what is his name again? Elon.
Musk.
Yeah. A nice fragrance. But yeah, we'll be going to Mars.
Marcia, thank you. Thank you for coming and having this conversation with me.
Thank you very much, Ava. Ava, sorry.
That's okay.